Have you ever found yourself buried under an avalanche of tasks? Unsure which one truly matters? If you're tired of the chaos and want to reclaim control of your time and energy, stick around. Are you juggling the complexities of CMC development while trying to enjoy the beauty of biotech? Have you ever wondered if there's a way to simplify bioprocessing? Welcome to the Smart Biotech Scientist podcast, where we're diving headfirst into the very challenges you face. We're breaking it down, demystifying the jargon, and giving you the keys to unlock your full potential. I'm your host, David Brohlman, and I get it. With 15 plus years in the biotech industry, I face the same challenges you do. There's a way to simplify and streamline so you can remove complexity, you can skip trials and errors, deliver without delay your groundbreaking therapy to clinics at market, and still enjoy every single step. Do you want to learn how industry experts and I did it? Grab a cup of coffee and your favorite notebook and pen. Now is the time to take your bioprocessing game to the next level. Let's smarten up biotech. Hey, smart biotech scientists. Welcome to another episode of the Smart Biotech Scientist podcast. I know you are all here because, like me, you are constantly wondering how to get everything done in the chaotic world of biotech process development. Today's episode is going to shed some light on that very issue. And we'll draw inspiration from the incredible insights found in Greg McKuhn's book, Essentialism: The Disciplined Pursuit of Less. And towards the end, I'll give you a bonus tip. Now, I get it. As a biotech scientist, you're dealing with a complex, time-consuming, and challenging environment where juggling multiple tasks is the norm. But what if I told you that you don't have to do it all? What if there is a more strategic way to navigate through your work, focusing on what truly matters? Can you strategically discern the vital few experiments that accelerate your process development workflow and lead to breakthroughs from the trivial many that may dilute your efforts? That's where essentialism comes in. So let's start with the fundamental question. Is this the very most important thing I should be doing with my time and resources right now? This simple yet powerful query is the essence of essentialism. It's about being selective, creating space for yourself, and finding creative freedom within that space. Let me tell you a story. Who doesn't like great stories? Because I heard the best-selling author and the former publisher of the Success magazine, Darren Hardy, tell this story. He said that he once met a man on a plane and they got to talking. And he said, the man started to tell me about his grandfather who had just turned 100 years of age. Hardy was fascinated because he had never met a centenarian. And the old man had immigrated from what used to be the Soviet Union, which is now in the Ukraine, to the United States with his family, and they grew up in abject poverty. They lived in the basement of another family's home his whole growing up years. And because they couldn't afford to sustain themselves, he couldn't go to high school. And so he never went to high school and any kind of school, but he went on to become extraordinarily wealthy and respected and very well loved. So Hardy wanted to invite him to an interview, and he called him and said, I would love to sit down with you and interview and publicize your story and success. And the old man said, no, not a chance. So The old man was a very, very private person and didn't want that kind of publicity. Hardy had to switch his marketing mind and said, could we document all the lessons that you learned of 100 years of wisdom, and you could pass it down to your children as how to live the kind of extraordinary life you've proven, so that maybe your great-grandchildren who had never the opportunity to meet you could benefit from these lessons? The old man seemed to get inspired by that idea. And before we get together, and I would ask that you would write down everything you possibly learned that contributed to your extraordinary life on paper. Just prepare your notes for it, Hardy told the old man. And the old man seemed very committed, and he said, I'll give this some very diligent thought, and I'll be prepared for our meeting. So the day of the interview came, and Hardy was excited. He was pulling up to the big iron gates as they slowly opened up. As soon as he went over the horizon, he could see this palatial estate, which meant that this old man was obviously wealthy. His room was absolutely breathtaking. Polished mahogany wood, two stories, while the wall floor to ceiling, books, rare books, as well as contemporary modern, which was another indication that this man, who while he went never to high school, is a serious student. So in the middle of the room were these two vintage wingback leather chairs, creased just perfectly like out of the Ralph Lauren catalog, and a marble table in the middle. When he arrived and sat down, Hardy asked, did you get a chance to write down all the wisdom of 100 years of living? The man said, oh yeah, I did. Well, where is it? I have it, said the old man. And he reached out into his breast pocket and said, it's right here. And he handed it over to him. He took it and opened it up, and it took Hardy 30 seconds to read because it was only 2/3 filled out. That's it, Hardy said, realizing that he was being disrespectful. How is all this? It's no way that all this is possible with what's just on this piece of paper. He smiled knowingly and said, that's the problem. You can hand this paper to a young man and they will open it and they will read it and they will think that they understand, but they will disregard it. And they will go on looking for more fanciful, complicated, seemingly mysterious ideas to capture their success. And it won't be until somebody arrives 100 years later when they're contemplating their life and trying to make sense of it, that they will then reread this piece of paper and say to themselves, that was it. Everything you ever needed to know to be extraordinarily wealthy, well-respected, and very much loved appears on this piece of paper. And he could tell that Hardy was stunned and stunted by this idea. So he went on to explain, because I never went to high school, I wasn't very smart. And I thought that that was a disadvantage. And so every endeavor I pursued, I just had to find out what were those few things that made this work. And because I thought I was very smart, I didn't change them. I didn't try to adapt them and make them my own. I just did them. And then because I did them over and over again, I got really good at them. And the thing that I thought was my disadvantage became my great advantage. And the first thing that was written on this piece of paper was, only a few things matter to anything. You want to find those few things when you are developing a bioprocess. You want to know what really matters. When you scale up your production into the large-scale facility, you want to know what are the key essentials when you commercialize a biologic. And then you want to stick to them and you want to master them. And isn't that our problem? We are always looking at the bleeding edge, what's new, novel, and shiny. So this story is a critical reminder that when it comes down to it, when you go back to your businesses, or even if your relationships, your lives, in the end, only a few things matter. In your role as a biotech scientist or an industry leader, have you ever found yourself stretched too thin and simultaneously felt overworked and underutilized? Have you felt too busy and not productive? Or have you felt your other people's agendas are constantly hindering you to complete your tasks? Greg McKeown said, only once you give yourself permission to stop trying to do it all, to stop saying yes to everyone, can you make your highest contribution towards the things that really matter. And that's what I want to help you discover. That's the lifestyle of an essentialist. Because essentialism is not about doing more. It's about doing the right things. It's a disciplined, systematic approach that helps you determine where your highest point of contribution lies. Instead of making choices reactively, essentialism encourages you to deliberately distinguish the vital few from what? From the trivial many. And you do this by eliminating the non-essentials and paving the way for what truly matters. It doesn't mean just doing less, obviously, for the sake of less either. No, it's about making the wisest possible investment of your time and energy to operate at your highest point of contribution by doing only what is essential. No nice to haves, only essentials. Now, as biotech scientists, your work involves discerning the vital few experiments or projects that will contribute the most to your goals. So you need to explore, you need to evaluate and ask, will this activity or effort make the highest possible contribution towards my goal? This is about making strategic choices that lead to significant breakthroughs. Think of essentialism as something you are. Essentialists are among the most successful people in every type of human endeavor. While other people are living a life of stress and chaos, you will be living a life of impact and fulfillment. And you will reap several benefits as you're becoming an essentialist. You'll get, number one, more clarity. Number two, you get more control. And importantly, number three, you will get more joy in the journey. So a life of an essentialist is essentially a life of meaning. It's a life that really matters. So here's the question. How do you become an essentialist? Well, it starts by exploring and evaluating. You want to be asking, will this activity or effort make the highest possible contribution toward my goal? Hey, smart biotech scientists, this is it for today. We are continuing our conversation this Thursday, and we're going to look at how you become an essentialist. And please let me know what you think about this episode, because I would love to hear from you what your main challenges are to focus on the essential fuels when you are developing bioprocesses. Have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you on Thursday. All right, smart scientists, that's all for today on the Smart Biotech Scientist podcast. Thank you for tuning in and joining us on your journey to bioprocess mastery. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. By doing so, we can empower more scientists like you. For additional bioprocessing tips, visit us at smartbiotechscientist.com. Stay tuned for more inspiring biotech insights in our next episode. Until then, Let's continue to smarten up biotech.